Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is our final segment tonight, and the college football conversation will continue right here. So summer is winding down, and college football, it is certainly heating up. Time now for our Big 12 breakdown as we get set to preview some of the weekend games. Always a pleasure to have back with us from the Sports Animal in Oklahoma City and News Channel 4 our dear friend Bob Berry Jr. Good evening.
Hi, E. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. Looking forward to some more action this weekend. Let's first and foremost, let's hit on the Sooners. What did you learn from week one? Because they really dominated that game against Louisiana Tech from start to finish.
I thought it was a pretty good start, Elissa, you know, with the momentum they had coming off last year, and they were ranked in the top five. We've seen seasons past, even under Bob Stoops, when they've started off slowly in game one and kind of, you know, gotten into a rhythm later on. But they really started pretty quick against Louisiana Tech with that 21-0 first quarter lead. I didn't think Trevor Knight played particularly well. I didn't think he played bad, but he was just okay. Had 15 incompletions, which is a lot for him the way he's been passing it lately. But their run game was really spectacular with the three new backs. Keith Ford, who played a little bit last year as a true freshman, but he fumbled it too many times, so that sent him to the sidelines. But he was strong the other night, scored on a 22-yard touchdown run for their first TD of the year. And then Alex Ross from Tulsa, who went to Jenks High School, had been waiting on him to play well for years, and he had a spectacular game, including an 80-yard kickoff return that didn't go all the way for a touchdown, but it was impressive. And then Samaje Perine, a freshman battering ram, 5'11", 235-pounder, scored and moved the pile more than once and was actually the leading rusher in the game. So the three young running backs drew as much attention as anything, and the defense was solid, just like it was toward the end of last year. So I think all in all, Oklahoma's happy, and they should be heavy favorites playing Tulsa in Tulsa Saturday morning.
Of course, Tulsa, they're coming off that thriller, a double overtime win against Tulane. How dangerous of a team are they?
Not really, to be honest with you. They struggled against Tulane. I'm glad they won because I'm a huge Bill Blankenship fan. The head coach of the Golden Hurricane is in his third year, but they struggled so mightily a year ago. You know, they won 11 and their conference title 2 years ago, Elissa, and
right,
flipped to 3-9 last year. Had a lot of injuries and a lot of problems, so it was imperative for them to get off this season with a win, getting ready to play Oklahoma. Dane Evans is their little quarterback who kind of threw it around, had a decent game against Tulane. He started off slow, threw a couple of bad interceptions, but picked it up. I think ended up having four touchdown passes on the night. But really and truly, Oklahoma's a 24-28-point favorite, and they should win by about that much. But, you know, it'll be a good test for OU to keep improving as they get closer and closer to a game against Tennessee and Norman a week from Saturday.
Oh, certainly looking forward to that. But Tulsa is a team that certainly showed a ton of resolve. I want to back up for just a moment and talk about the quarterback, Trevor Knight. As you were talking about, a solid but not spectacular in that first game. What do you think his focus is going to be coming into game two?
Well, and he would tell you that. He said so after the game. He just said he's got to clean some stuff up with his receivers. Sterling Shepard is really the most notable receiver back from a year ago, and he had a nice game. But there's other young guys. Deron Neal's a starter. K.J. Young's a starter who we don't know anything about, a redshirt freshman from California who earned his first career start in game one. And Blake Bell, you know, the former quarterback, started
at
tight end, and Trevor Knight threw to him one time in the end zone. They almost connected, and Bell actually got shaken up on the play and had a face full of turf and his face mask when he got up. So looking forward to seeing if Blake Bell actually makes some catches and becomes a weapon as a receiving tight end instead of just a blocker. So, and Trevor Knight admitted he was high with some throws. He led some guys too much, but he was very smart in the way that he played. He slid in several times when a year ago he would have run for extra yards, and he played every snap. So OU did not really have a backup quarterback plan in that season opener. Cody Thomas is a young kid from Texas who was supposed to be the backup. He was a little banged up. After the game, Bob Stoops said he could have played if they had to have brought him in. They definitely do not want to put Blake Bell back at quarterback. They really want him to play and be the tight end instead of returning to his old position. So now Cody Thomas has recovered a little bit this week. He's thrown a bunch of passes in practice, so he'll back up Trevor Knight in the Tulsa game. And that way, if Oklahoma gets far ahead, which I think they will, they can rest Trevor Knight. But he played a pretty smart game in game one. He just wasn't that efficient, I didn't think.
You were listening to the voice of News Channel 4, Bob Berry Jr., tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And we hit on this last week, and I want to ask you, Bobby, is the pressure, how much is it building for Oklahoma to win a championship? I mean, how patient are these Sooner fans being?
Oh, they're pretty fired up still. I mean, you can get so much mileage out of a win against Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, I'm kind of tired of hearing about it. That was a long time ago, and it was great and all, but I mean, you know, this is on to another season. I think, though, just the way the league is shaking out, we obviously saw Baylor paced SMU in their opener, but now we wonder about Bryce Petty's health. And I noticed they lost another receiver for a month, an injury. The Norwood kid is out for a while. So Baylor's banged up. Texas, Charlie Strong keeps kicking guys off the team. David Ash now, we don't know if he's going to play at all this year. So it's opening up for Oklahoma. I tell you, I was as impressed with Oklahoma State as any team in the Big 12 last week, Alyssa. They played Florida State, you know what, off, and had a chance to win the game more than once. They were spectacular on defense, I thought, given Jameis Winston and what all the Seminoles have to offer. And OSU's offense, you know, more than held its own against Florida State, and actually was wearing down the Seminoles in the second half, I felt like, with tempo and the way the speed of the game and all of that. So Oklahoma State opened my eyes as much as any Big 12 team in the conference a week ago.
Well, the central theme of our conversation has focused on the Sooners, and I want to hit on the Cowboys in just a moment, but give us the update on Oklahoma's running back, Joe Mixon. Some news coming out of there. Obviously, how much does that hurt the Sooners in the long run when Big 12 play gets underway?
I would say now, not much, because of what the fans saw a week ago in the three-headed monster I was telling you about. The other guys,
okay,
Keith Ford and Samaje Perine and Alex Ross played so well that people really weren't talking about Joe Mixon. I guess the video is really damning. It was released today in a weird sense. They basically, like you would go to see an execution at a state prison or something, they invited a bunch of media people in to view the tape of the assault of the freshman running back against a 20-year-old woman at a Norman Deli back in late July. People were allowed to see it, but they couldn't record it. They weren't allowed to show it online or put it anywhere, just watch it and then report on what they saw. And pretty much the overwhelming response was that it was a very violent punch that this kid hit this woman with, and that's why he was suspended for a year. And a lot of people even said now that they've seen the video, they understand why Mixon was suspended from all team activities for an entire year. And I might be surprised if Joe Mixon ever plays at Oklahoma, because I think eventually that video will come out in November under an Open Records Act or something to where the country can see it, and it supposedly is not pretty at all, and it might lead to his early departure before he ever plays it down.
You know, I had a chance on Thursday to listen to your radio show, and you had Kerry Murdoch on from Soonerscoop.com, and just listening to his reaction to the video, I understand what Mixon, in that video, I mean, he punched her with a closed fist.
No, yeah, he broke four bones in her face and knocked her unconscious for a time. And it was, again, another co-host of mine, Mark Rogers, from the Sports Animal, said it was the most violent punch he's ever seen, including boxing or MMA or whatever. So, you know, and Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman wrote a column a few weeks ago that said no matter what Joe Mixon does, right or wrong, and again, supposedly he's been a great kid and highly regarded coming out of California, never got in trouble, all of that, he's always going to be known as the guy who hit the girl. No matter what, he's always going to be called the guy who hit the girl, even if his career gets underway, whether it's at Oklahoma or somewhere else. And now with this video out there in this day and age when videos seem to hang around and go viral forever, it's a very unfortunate incident for everybody involved, and that's why it could very well lead to his career never getting off the ground at Oklahoma. We'll see.
Okay, Bob Berry Jr. is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You can join us at Twitter, at E-Radio Sports. So let's head to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and kind of get the forecast on the Cowboys, because you're talking about they really gave Florida State a run for their money and almost gave them that season-opening loss.
There was nothing fluky about it, Alyssa. I was there at Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium.
And gotta love it, yeah.
They fell down 17-0, and that's when you thought, okay, this is going to be either really bad or we're going to see some resolve on a bunch of young guys who have never played. And fortunately for Mike Gundy, his crew responded and said, okay, we're not doing this. And they completely turned it around. J.W. Walsh is who we thought he was at quarterback. Not a very good passer, decent runner, but he's just a gamer. He's a guy that the team responds to for whatever reason. And after he threw an early pick six, which gave Florida State a 10-0 lead, he settled down. Their run game improved. And they've got this kid, Alyssa, named Tyreek Hill. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Number 24. Watch out for this guy. He had 278 all-purpose yards. We know how fast Florida State is. I mean, they look just like the teams did when Bobby Bowden used to coach there. They can run sideline to sideline with anybody, and Tyreek Hill was running past him, around him, through him all night long. There's a reason he was the Big 12 newcomer of the year in the preseason. He lived up to the hype in game one. I really look forward to seeing him play the rest of the year. But then OSU's defense, led by this sophomore from Houston named Emmanuel Ogba, number 38, he was all over the place. He was the best defensive player on the field, either team. He sacked Jameis Winston twice. He broke up two passes, should have had an interception. He recorded six other tackles, and he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. Ogbo led this defensive line for OSU that was really strong. Linebackers, we had no idea what they would do. They had one leader named Ryan Simmons who was good, but he got help from a couple of other kids who were playing their first games, and their secondary was stout. So I'm just saying, they're set up now. If you look at their schedule, they had Florida State, Oklahoma State. I fully expect to win the next 6-7 in a row, I think, and wow, getting well into the conference season before they start being tested again. They're set up for that. We'll see if it plays out.
Well, never underestimate a Mike Gundy's Cowboys, 10-3 last year, 7-2 in Big 12 conference play. Always a pleasure to have with us on this Friday night, Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4. We'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks, Biggie.
That, of course, was Bob Berry Jr. from News Channel 4 out of Oklahoma City. And it is time to thank all of our guests in our lineup. Steve Schuyler with Basketball Insiders, Brian Jones from CBS Sports, Jason Peter, our weekly Under the Helmet segment, our very own Andy Pondillo doing a great job breaking down the latest with the Houston Astros, and Bill Rabinowitz. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show.